This is Max Entman, and I'm here with Rick Ozzie Nelson. He's the director and senior fellow of the Homeland Security and Counterterrorism Program at CSIS. Welcome to Above the Radar. This is the podcast series of the Homeland Security and Counterterrorism Program that seeks to delve in beyond the headlines to give you real analysis of what's going on in the Homeland Security and Counterterrorism policy arena. Ozzie, welcome. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Max.
So, two recent reports have drawn attention to homegrown Islamist terrorism in the United States. What do you think is going on here, Ozzie?
Well, right now, Max, this is it's a narrow problem, but it's a growing problem, one that we should be concerned of. What we're seeing is over the last couple of years is an increase in the number of U.S. citizen legal residents that have been implicated in terrorism plots. What's troubling about these individuals is other than embracing a perverted form of Islam, there is really nothing that unites these individuals. These individuals come from various backgrounds, socioeconomic backgrounds. They've been recruited by different terrorist groups. For example, some have been recruited by Al-Shabaab and LET and even Al-Qaeda itself. So it's concerning in that it makes it very difficult to identify in advance who these individuals are that might move past rhetoric to violent action.
So this past March, the Homeland Security and Counterterrorism Program here at CSIS released a report that you authored on this subject. Can you tell us the insights from that report? What's behind this trend?
Yeah, absolutely, Max. Other than the fact that there were no commonalities with these individuals, some of the things that we learned is one, the importance of the internet. No surprise to many people, but what terrorists are doing now is they're obviously collaborating on the internet. It used to be before the internet, if individuals were disenfranchised or they wanted to find like-minded individuals to collaborate with, they would have to meet at a physical location. While that's still going on now, what we're seeing is that individuals can now venue shop on the internet. So instead of a cell simply being in Minnesota, you can take someone who's disenfranchised in Minnesota, can now collaborate with someone in Pakistan, along with someone perhaps in North Africa. And those virtual cells are very significant, and they're used for where individuals can go build a dialogue and move past that rhetoric into violent action. Now, one of the other things that we learned from this study as well is a presence of what we call intermediaries, where it takes an individual, someone such as an Anwar al-Awlaki, who is outside of the United States, and even though he's a U.S. citizen, and they reach into these groups of disenfranchised individuals, and they get them to radicalize beyond rhetoric and to actually take action. And these intermediaries are extremely critical to the process and extremely dangerous. And then another thing that we learned, lastly, is we learned the importance of the Al-Qaeda's West versus Islam narrative. This Islam narrative is critical to Al-Qaeda's philosophy, and it's almost got to the point now where this narrative has become self-sustaining and moved Al-Qaeda into its next phase of what that organization is. And what it is Al-Qaeda needs to create an idea that somehow the U.S. and the West is at war with Islam. And what we saw was almost to a number of these individuals who perpetrated or attempted to perpetrate attacks against the West and U.S. cited that narrative as one of their reasons for taking action.
So, Ozzie, how do we address these problems? And are current government actions going in the right direction?
Well, the government, you know, the good news is the government has been very aggressive in being involved, avoiding some of these attacks. Certainly, we've been lucky in a couple occasions. These attacks have not been sophisticated. But I think that in itself is demonstrates, you know, the job that the United States government is doing. Their pressure that they're putting on the Al-Qaeda organization and its affiliates is one where we're seeing attacks that are less sophisticated and less coordinated. That's the good news. The bad news is, as this threat is evolving, and the threat that we are experiencing today is much different than the threat we are experiencing on September 11th and September 12th, right after the attack. And the question is, will our U.S. government apparatus, will its operational techniques, and will our U.S. laws and policies evolve as fast as the threat is evolving? And some of the areas where we're going to see those challenges, for example, is with the internet. Obviously, as I cited earlier, the internet is being exploited by these terrorist groups. But any actions that the U.S. government takes on the internet are fraught with civil liberties and civil rights concerns. And that's something that we as American people are going to have to address and come to some sort of decision on how we want to handle that. It's my opinion that whatever we are doing in the internet, it's not enough. We need to continue to be aggressive because that's where these terrorists are planning attacks. This is where they are collaborating, and this is where they are operating to a large degree. Also, back to the point about intermediaries, we need to be much more aggressive with these intermediaries. We cannot let these individuals, such as Yarnwall or Lockheed, who have been directly supporting terrorist activities and killing Americans and U.S. citizens, continue to operate freely. We must work with our partners across the nation, across the world, to keep these individuals in check and bring them to justice ultimately. And then lastly, the United States needs to do a much, much better job in countering this narrative, the one I mentioned earlier about Al-Qaeda being at West, the U.S. being at war with Islam. We have to be very, very assertive in undermining that narrative, highlighting points such as the fact that almost 90% of all of Al-Qaeda's casualties have been Muslims. They have killed Muslims. And highlighting those things and taking charge of the initiative and taking that narrative out of the hands of Al-Qaeda and showing to the world, to the American people, that these terrorists are nothing more than thugs and criminals that need to be brought to justice.
On the last point, lots of critics have talked about the fact that the government should have a single department or agency, or at least a single clear strategy devoted to dealing with homegrown extremism. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm hesitant for any concept that would make government necessarily larger by creating another department or another agency. So we have to be cautious in doing that. However, I do think that a unified strategy is important. Clearly, we're starting to see the individual government components move forward and taking action, but we're going to need to see more of that in the future. This is a very, very complex issue. It crosses the boundaries between international community and the intelligence community and goes into domestic politics and law enforcement. And bringing those two worlds together has always been a challenge in the United States. And so what we're going to need is a unified strategy and a unified approach to this. And that's going to require a public dialogue and a discussion within America and with the international community about how we want to handle this growing threat of homeland extremism. And it's going to take some leadership from above, from the White House level, continued leadership to define how exactly the United States is going to address this threat that has now manifested itself inside of our borders.
Ozzie, thanks so much.
Thank you, Max.
You can find the rest of the Above the Radar podcasts on CSIS.org or on iTunes U. And you should check out the CSIS Homeland Security and Counterterrorism Program website on CSIS.org as well. Thanks for listening.